I'm Emma Curtin, host of a new true crime podcast called Murder Archives. It's set in Toorak in 1929 about the murder of Norma Rees-McLeod. Search for Murder Archives where you're listening right now.
Yeah. Your parents, that's the thing. Our parents are quite old these days, and we're lucky to have parents still alive. My parents still live in the same house.
I saw
one of my brother's friends, my older brother Trev's mate, who played drums in a band in the 70s with him called Chief. And he goes, I don't want to be rude. I mean, I hadn't seen this guy for 30 years. He goes, but are your parents still alive? I went, mate, not only are they alive, they're living in the same house. He's like, oh my God, we used to practice our band in that house. And your mum would bring out dim sims. She cooked in a deep fryer. Good memories.
There's the bio. Pick of David Nell is the first scene. I went down my old street, and often do.
Yeah.
And, look at the spot where I broke my nose and I crashed the car and all that sort of stuff.
Julia Zemira goes with you, or does that show? Anyway.
And the woman who owned the place walked out.
And your family house.
Yeah. And I went, I used to live here. She went, all right, and walked off.
Oh, what?
I was hoping,
Yeah, she'd let you in.
Have a little bit of a tour around.
Have they renovated or?
I guess, but yes, but no.
Looks the same?
Kind of. I used to live in Strathmore.
Yeah.
On a hill in Strathmore that overlooked the Tullamarine Freeway.
Yeah,
and,
beautiful.
They'd put a car park at the front, but besides that, I don't know. I think it would be incredible to go inside, but anyway.
Remember?
It was a program, wasn't it? Up your old street, what's it called?
Julia, Return Home. Home delivery. When you go home to your street, if you go home to your house. But a lot of them were very similar. A lot of them, you go back to your house, you go to your school, you tell a story about getting hurt, and then, that was it, kind of thing.
Rode my bike up here, ate my lunch over there, and okay. Yeah, because I didn't have that many stories, so I knocked. Did you do it?
No, I didn't do it. I didn't get asked to do it. I'm waiting. Not after this, I won't get asked to do it, but that's all right. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do any TV.
Yeah,
if any TV producers are listening. In fact, my coming appearances, scrap them. Get rid of them.
Because you already started off with a really good story. The Dim Sim story would have...
We could have had that story. You go to my house and mum and dad go, what are you bloody doing? Who's this with the camera? That woman from Rock Quiz, what's she doing here?
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Oh, well, hello and welcome to Somehow Related, even though Sam says that anyway. Thanks, Sam. No need to repeat. Anyway, well, what are our topics today, Sam? Can we get some topics going?
Your subjects today that are somehow related. Napoleon and kangaroos.
Oh, kangaroos and Napoleon. I don't believe Napoleon.
Ever
came to Australia, did he?
He did a pub tour back in the...
Well,
in the early 70s, I think.
Didn't he conquer a lot of places, Napoleon? I'm not so big on Napoleon history. I love history, but
Did he conquer or wasn't he a military leader?
Yeah, French.
French.
We know
so
that
he
much.
He wasn't an explorer. So you mean he invaded countries?
Hitler sort of thing, but back in the day, Napoleon.
And him, when he had his... Because back then, they didn't have cameras. They did the drawings.
No drawings.
And everyone did the...
The hand in the suit.
In the hand in the suit. I got my photograph taken for TV Week once.
And did you do that?
Well, actually pointed it out. I sat back on my couch and I didn't know what to do with my hands. Because you know how sometimes you don't know what to do for a photograph. And I'm doing it now. I did this.
Oh, it's like your hand on your pants. Homer Simpson, that's more Homer Simpson. You're putting your hand down your pants so you could touch your crotch.
Well, but I didn't, obviously, for TV Week,
Look at me. I'm having a bit of a fiddle. Bit of pocket billiards, as we used to say at high school.
It was only sort of like, half in.
Yeah.
But then I looked at it. Tom Gleiser pointed it out on the panel. Didn't look appropriate.
Oh, I love it when you don't realise. I remember when, again, I don't want to bring up Husey again, but he did What's in My House, and he was sitting on his bed, and next to his bed was a big box of black and gold tissues. And he said, my brother said that too. I'm like, mate, you should have moved the big box of black and gold. Because we know what it's suggesting. And I think he was single at that stage. So anyway, okay, so Napoleon, and he wasn't that short apparently. You know how people always say he was a short man? He wasn't that short. He was like 5 foot something, 5 foot 8 maybe, 5 foot 6.
Didn't he once say, never interrupt your enemy when they're making a mistake or something like that?
Oh, really? Let them make the mistake.
If they're making a mistake, don't interrupt, which is a good policy on life, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit like saying, give someone enough rope or just...
Yeah, let them go.
Let them go.
Let them go.
Let's put Napoleon to the side for a second.
Kangaroos.
Okay, so we've got... Okay. When was Napoleon? 1700s?
1700s, I believe. I don't know.
Kangaroos.
Kangaroos. Well, they were around then.
So you're saying, yes.
Well, no, what I think, this is my theory. I know that when the Romans invaded England, they used elephants in the invasion because English people had never seen elephants and it freaked them out. When Caesar invaded England, he got a couple of elephants and they ran off the ships and people just thought they were monsters and just, you know, dragons and stuff.
Really smart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then... apparently, this is a myth, I think. He got people with French horns to make the sound of elephants. So
they thought
there were hundreds of them.
Right.
And so I reckon, I'm thinking Napoleon may have used kangaroos in warfare.
But how would we have who got them?
Oh, yeah, how did he get them?
He might not have got them, though.
Or maybe he just liked them. Maybe just like kangaroos.
But you'd have to say if they're related that he's somehow come in contact with kangaroos.
Yeah. Have you come in contact with a kangaroo before?
I have. I hit when you and I were touring.
Yes, I know. Where were we again?
Catherine.
Which is in the middle of outback Australia.
Here's a tip. If you hire a car in the Northern Territory, don't drive outside city limits after dusk because you're not covered.
Yeah.
Because we did the gig in Catherine and I went to drive back to the resort.
Yeah.
Because you were staying in Catherine. But I paid for my own accommodation.
You paid for your own accommodation. Yeah. I was staying in a very dodgy motel.
And I had to drive back to the resort and I was
told, you and your partner there too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I was told that if you hit something, don't stop. Because apparently what the locals do is sometimes they throw things in front of your car, throw a kangaroo in front of your car, and then when you get out to have a look, they steal your car.
What is this, Africa or somewhere?
Well, look, urban myth may be.
Yeah.
But I saw one jump out and it went boomp and I thought, oh, well, there goes my, what do you call it?
Insurance.
Yep. And drove back and here was a beautiful, I thought it had just gone underneath. It was jammed up into the grill and its little face was poking out just underneath the headlights with its beautiful long eyelashes. And
dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then got back. Anyway, cut a long story short.
So what, you drove back with it stuck under there?
Well, I wasn't going to get out of the car. And then I tried to pull it out. And then I went
the resort.
And said to the chef, you're good with dead animals. You want to pull a kangaroo out of my grill? And he came in. He put his foot up, went bang and pulled it out, put it over on the garden. And I thought, oh, we're right now. But came back the next day, there's oil on the ground. So I had a car in the middle of nowhere and then we couldn't get back to Darwin.
Oh, my God.
So I had to go and hire another car and found out it wasn't insured. Cost me $2,500, $3,000 or something.
Profit from that Catherine gig, gone.
That was in a basketball court.
Yeah, no, it was at a roller skating rink.
A roller skating rink, yeah.
We didn't know what it was when we walked in. We thought it was a YMCA hall and it's like it's in circles with
wasn't
plastic
bad.
Chairs. It wasn't bad, but the Darwin one we did was great, remember?
That was out in a
big warehouse. Yeah. Chinese club. It was a Chinese club.
It was good.
East Timor. Anyway, some club.
Anyway, I've hit a kangaroo.
You hit a kangaroo.
Now, the thing that comes to mind with me with kangaroos is the first time I saw it, is this real? When in those souvenir shops in the city, whether they have the testicles that are...
Yeah, the handbags or whatever. I don't know if that's real. I suppose that's real.
It wouldn't be real.
It's a byproduct of the killing of the kangaroo because they are a pest in some parts of Australia.
Because there'd be a lot of kangaroos out there with high voices.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be.
Singing opera, falsetto.
Because it wouldn't be. I'm wondering about. Have you got a theory yet?
Yeah, my theory is that Napoleon got kangaroos and used them in warfare.
Oh, so that's what you're going to go with.
I reckon he had him in cages on the back of wagons.
Sam hasn't said anything yet.
Okay, Sam, what do you think?
You are getting colder.
So
colder.
I'm colder. So it wasn't warfare.
So I'm thinking I'm going to say that he, and I'll say this, and if we get a colder, we'll have to keep on going, that he was the first person. He invented the wallet, the small, did they have loose change in the 1700s?
You are getting colder.
Okay. You're way off, man. You're way off. Maybe
it's simpler than that.
Maybe you used them for meat because you can eat kangaroo. Maybe it was a meat thing.
Was he a bot? Did he collect?
You were getting warmer.
Because
Banks, when he came to Australia, he was getting, you know,
live specimens.
Yeah, well, he was getting fauna and
flora.
Flora and fauna. What's the difference? Which is which?
Fauna's plants. And fauna's animals.
Yes. And flora's plants.
Plants.
But he was a botanist, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I'm wondering, when he was travelling, he maybe ate it.
Yeah.
But he didn't, I don't remember him coming to Australia.
Yeah, that is confusing. Look, I'm just going to say he liked kangaroos and he had a petting zoo. So he probably had kids.
Okay.
And he had like sheep. And so after he stopped being a general, he set up a Napoleon's petting zoo. And he would go around to primary schools and fairs. Not only do you see an amazing general, you get to bloody pat a kangaroo. And
when his hand was in there, he was pulling out a bit of food to feed the...
bit of food to the kangaroo, a meaty bite. That's my theory. He owned a petting zoo with kangaroos in it. He owned a zoo with kangaroos in it. That's what I'm going for. What are you saying?
Owned a zoo that had kangaroos,
with kangaroos in it.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to say that he was the first person to eat one.
Oh, so he had him for food.
Had him for food.
Okay, let's go to Sam.
French expeditions to Australia at the start of the 1800s returned to Paris with a great number of collected wildlife. Josephine Bonaparte, Napoleon's wife, saw a chance to have the most exotic collection of fauna in Europe. The haul of animals was unloaded at her luxurious estate just outside Paris. Kangaroos, emus, cockatoos and black swans roam the gardens with other collected species from far-off continents.
Wow.
So well done, you've got that right.
I got it right. Yeah, he was interesting. But it was his wife. Because I didn't even know Napoleon was married.
I think he had a few
wives.
Yeah. He collected wives as well as kangaroos.
In his menagerie.
Well done.
Oh, thanks.
You've gone to... I think I was leading there for a little while. I've got two. I think you've gone to... Is your first one?
It's my first win. Wow. So excited.
So how are you, Napoleon? Imagine if you saw Napoleon... How you doing, mate?
It's pretty good, but the kangaroos have been problems. I don't know what to feed them. They've been eating all the grass and the leaves. That's a bloody thing. Bloody wife. Now she wants a koala. Jesus Christ. I know. What accent is that, Napoleon? It's transatlantic. I travel a lot. You don't realize. Sacre bleu. Sacre bleu, you fool. Shoot that man.
Napoleon. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Is that it?
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill, produced by Courtney Carthy for the Nearly Podcast Network. You can find out more information by following the links in our show notes.
Make sure you subscribe, tell a friend, leave a review, 5 stars only.
Well, that's, yeah. Do you tell them to...
Well, if you're talking about podcasts, tell them you listen to a great podcast.
I listen to podcasts and I don't know how to do that. So if you're my age... Just listen. Don't worry about the 5 stars.
Yeah,
but if you can get your younger
millennials and Gen Ys,
yeah,
get on there.
Bang off a 5.
Do it.
You would think that would have a better rating system in 2018 than going back to the old star system. You'd think we'd have something better than that.
No, everything old is new again.